What's going on, White Sox fans? My name is Michael Suero. I am the editor of minor league content over at Sox on 35th. And welcome to the inaugural episode of Pipeline to 35th. So before we get into anything else, let's talk a little bit about the show and kind of what's prompted this to happen over here at Sox on 35th. So a few months ago, I took on a role as editor of minor league content, and this is kind of one of the big ideas that we've had even before we made that announcement, that we really want to be expanding our coverage of the White Sox minor league system this year. Look, let's face it, we kind of already know, you know, what this season's going to be for the White Sox. As of recording right now, they have not secured their first win of the season yet. But on the flip side, the farm system is absolutely trending in the right direction. You know, last several years, it's been thought of as being one of the five worst farm systems in baseball. Now, depending on who you ask, it's up to the middle of the pack. Some people even have it pushing the top 10 range. So a lot of positive things are happening in the White Sox farm system right now, and we want to make sure that we are covering it for all of you guys to know, you know, who to watch out for in the minor leagues, who could be joining the major leagues soon. So, and that is why we are starting this show, Pipeline to 35th. So, yeah, this is our way of kind of getting that content over to everyone and keeping everyone in the loop of what's going on in the farm system. The plan is that we're going to be recording this once a month, releasing on the during the first week of every month. And going forward, it's going to be more of a recap of what's been going on, you know, the prior month, along with hit up any news or transactions or anything that's, you know, coming up. We'll make sure to hit all that, but you know, this is going to be a recap video of what's been going on in the White Sox farm system. But for today, since we don't have anything to recap quite yet, we're going to take this as an opportunity to preview the 2024 season. So without further ado, let's get started. And why don't we start with AAA, the Charlotte Knights, who have already completed their first series of the season. They got their first win on Sunday and are starting the season 1-2 in their first series. And we can't really talk about the Knights without talking about Colson Montgomery, who in that first series had a couple of hits, got a walk. That's why we like him, right, Jordan Lazowski? And he also struck out four times. I'll say I watched that first game and he struck out twice in that game. Those were some, I'd say, some pitcher friendly calls on some of those strikeouts, so I wouldn't be too concerned about the strikeout numbers quite yet. But overall, I mean, I think every White Sox fan's pretty much heard it by now. Colson Montgomery, he's one of the top 10, 20 prospects in all of baseball. He's got legitimate power. He has a real shot to stick at shortstop. I know a lot of people think he's going to outgrow the position, but the Sox have had no thoughts of moving him away from shortstop, and seems to be getting better at it every year. And right now, it looks like where he's going to stay, and I don't think he's shown anything to convince me that he can't be an MLB shortstop quite yet. He has an elite feel for hitting. I mean, his eye, his batter's eye when it comes to, you know, seeing the strike zone is just incredible, especially for a prospect his age. And we're going to see him in the majors sooner rather than later. He hasn't started off the season on fire, but nothing to worry about. He is just that talented of a prospect that he's going to be fine, and he's going to be in a White Sox uniform in the not too distant future. Another guy who want to talk about right now is Oscar Colas, who in the first series for the Charlotte Knights.
He looked pretty good.
I know a lot of people have started to kind of write him off after he struggled in his first stint with the White Sox. But, I mean, we forget he was a top 100 prospect for a reason. He has legitimate left-handed power. He had some, you know, mental lapses in the field, but has shown to be a more than capable defensive right field throughout his minor league career. And he's starting off the season hot. He's got a home run. He's got a couple doubles. His OPS is over 1,500 through the first three games. I mean, he has looked really good so far to begin the season. And, I mean, we'll see what happens throughout the season, but is Dominic Fletcher going to be enough to block him from another shot at the major league level? I don't know. I think that if he keeps hitting like he is, it might be worth giving him a shot. He also did work on first base during this offseason and got some reps at it during spring training, so could be another path for him to get some at-bats at the MLB level. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but don't be surprised if you see Oscar Colas in a White Sox uniform again sometime this year. And then on the pitching side, you know, I think Getz definitely saw our lack of depth over the last few years, especially our lack of pitching depth. And that was one of his clear priorities this offseason, was to overhaul that and make sure that we actually have guys who can step in and, you know, step on the mound at the MLB level if needed. So I think that's really what you have to watch for with the Knights this year. Is there's not, at this moment to start the season, there's not any of those big time guys that are, you know, pitching for the Knights right now, but they have plenty of guys that we could definitely see in the majors this year. In terms of starting pitching depth, I'd say Jared Schuster could be one of the first guys called up if we need a spot starter. White Sox fans will remember we got him in the Aaron Bummer trade. He struggled a little bit in his first start of the season, but, you know, it's his first start in a new organization. Kind of just throw that one out and try again. But he's a guy, he's former first round pick, has some prospect pedigree. He was ranked as, you know, one of the Braves' top five prospects at some point. And I think he's a guy that, you know, I'm sure he's been in the lab with Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister this offseason. So he's got some upside. And again, wouldn't be surprised to see him in a Sox uniform this year. You know, he could potentially, you know, if he develops well enough, could fill in a Davis Martin type role this year as that next man up. We'll see how he progresses this year, but that's definitely a role that's possible for him. And then in terms of relievers, another guy that we just recently acquired was Prelander Baroa, who he was himself competing for a spot in the bullpen during spring training. Obviously, you know, he didn't crack the opening roster and he got sent down to AAA. But he is a guy with big time reliever potential. Like, we're talking high leverage upside, upper 90s, fastball, wipeout slider. Like, this is a guy with legitimate upside that, again, don't be surprised if we see him in the majors this year. He's got electric stuff, and I mean, very similar profile to Jordan Leisure, if we're being honest. Both of them, you know, big time velocities, big time movement on their sliders. Leisure obviously outpitched him in spring training, but Baroa still has all that talent to contribute on an MLB team. So moving on, let's talk about the AA Birmingham Barons now, which that team might be the most intriguing team to watch in this organization at the moment. You know, all around, they top to bottom, their roster is pretty stacked with guys who have legitimate MLB upside and are just really good players right now. So just looking at their pitching rotation, you know, their top pitcher right now is Drew Thorpe, who we just acquired as the headliner in our trade for Dylan Cease. I mean, Drew Thorpe was 2023's Minor League Pitcher of the Year. And even though he doesn't have the most overwhelming stuff, he still led all minors in strikeouts just because of his feel for pitching and his command of his entire arsenal. Guy has crazy control. His fastball won't overwhelm anyone. It'll sit in the low 90s, but the way he commands it with pinpoint accuracy, it makes it harder on opposing batters because he throws it exactly where he wants to. He's got some breaking stuff that is plenty usable, but his calling card is definitely his changeup. And he's got what some evaluators put it as a 60 to 70 grade changeup. Again, he controls it impeccably. It really throws batters off. It's an elite pitch. And if you look at his arsenal, it's not overly different than Lucas Giolito, where he didn't have the crazy velocity on his fastball, but that changeup really threw batters off, and he was able to generate a lot of strikeouts with it. It's exactly the type of pitcher that Thorpe is. I'm really excited for him. He was one of my favorite prospects in all minor league baseball before we acquired him, so I was excited when we got him. Sad to see Cease go, but I think that was a very good return for him. Next in the rotation, we got Jake Eater, who I know Sox fans are going to be a little sour on because of who we gave up to get Jake Eater, and that was obviously Jake Berger. And Jake Eater did not have the greatest opening stint with the White Sox. I think we all kind of know that. But Jake Eater is a legitimate pitching prospect. And last year, I think you kind of have to throw out with him because it was his first year after coming back from Tommy John surgery. He missed the entire season before that, and his season got delayed because of a foot injury. So he really didn't even have a full offseason or spring training to get ready for the season. So asking him, not only after missing a full season with a serious injury, to just come in, after the season's already started and just act like you're already in midseason form, like that was never going to happen. So I think last year you just kind of have to throw out. But pre-Tommy John surgery, Jake Eater was a legitimate pitching prospect who was on his way to being a top 100 prospect in baseball. If he can recapture some of that, he is going to quiet a lot of the doubters. And for being honest, he might have just as much upside as any pitcher in this organization not named Noah Schultz. So this year will be a real testament to see what Eater's long-term outlook is. And then also in their rotation is Jairo Arrieta. Hopefully I said that right. But he is another guy that we got in the Dylan Cease trade. I mean, he's got some things to work on. His command is shaky at best. But this is a guy who is putting up elite strikeout numbers. We're talking over 15 strikeouts per 9 innings. Those are numbers that you see elite closers putting up when they only have to work one inning a game. Those are the strikeout numbers that the starting pitcher is putting up in Double A last year. I mean, so he's definitely one to look out for this year. Crazy upside with him as well. Really has to clean up the command. Walks way too many batters as it stands right now. But there's also a lot of upside with him. And even if he doesn't stick in the rotation, which he's going to get every chance to do that, but if he can't, he has a lot of upside as a reliever as well. And then the lineup for the Barons. I mean, you've got Brian Ramos, who I think most of us know already as White Sox fans. We've been following him for a while. He's the guy that is just hit at every level that the White Sox have put him at. And he's been relatively young for every level that he's been called up to. So he's never quite reached, top 100 prospect level, because I think he just can be a dominant hitter, but he can only do it in stretches. I think he needs to be a little more consistent with showing off his true upside as a hitter. But overall, he's a rock solid guy at the plate. He's very disciplined at the plate, doesn't strike out too much, will draw his fair share of walks, and has legitimate power. So he's starting in Double A this year. I was a little surprised by that. I thought that he showed enough last year to get the call up to Triple A, but he's going to start in AA this year. I could see him getting promoted to AAA relatively soon. He's on the 40-man roster too, so who knows what would happen if Moncada went down with an injury. We could see him in the majors sooner rather than later, but definitely one to watch out for the Barons as it stands right now. And then Edgar Quiero, who is by far the top catching prospect in the organization. Obviously, we know that we acquired him in the Lucas Giolito trade last year, and he's a guy who didn't light the world on fire statistically last year, but you could kind of chalk that up to the fact that he was called up straight from low A to double A at only 20 years old. It was a very aggressive promotion by the Angels to make, and then the White Sox kept him in double A, and look, he held his own at 20 years old, and that's something I really look at when I'm evaluating prospects, is how they're performing compared to their age and compared to the level that they're competing at. I mean, he's one of the youngest players at the level and was still an above replacement level hitter and was getting good reports about his abilities behind the plate and working with pitchers. So, I mean, he was a top 100 prospect. He's fallen off a lot of those lists now, but the upside's still there with him. He still has a chance to be a legitimate everyday catcher at the MLB level. And one more guy I wanted to talk about in this lineup is Wilfred Varas, another guy who's very young for the level he's in. He was at 20 years old last year. He absolutely raked at that level. And he's also a guy who went from being a first base DH only prospect to all of a sudden he's handling himself relatively well in the corner outfield or in corner outfield spots. You know, I don't think he's going to win any gold gloves anytime soon, but he at least showed that he can be a defensive outfielder. Again, he could at least play the position, which I think adds a lot of value. You know, takes a little bit of pressure off his bat if he actually has a defensive home. So he's someone I'm really looking forward to seeing how he develops both at the plate, which he has, you know, some room to grow with it, especially with his aggressiveness at the plate. But also, I want to see how he does defensively this year. So looking forward to seeing him in the 2024 season. So next up, we have the Winston-Salem Dash, and the clear-cut name that we have to talk about right now with that team is Noah Schultz. I mean, he is clearly the second-best prospect in our organization, the best pitching prospect in the system, 6'9", left-handed pitcher, 20 years old, has elite stuff. You know, he doesn't have, you know, the triple-digit fastball that some people would want to see, but he spins the ball better than or just as well as any prospect in baseball right now. And especially with the length that he has in his delivery, and he's virtually unhittable against left-handed hitters. Like they should have no shot against him, especially when his slider's on. There's just no shot a left-handed hitter is going to be able to see the ball well coming out of his hands. If there's a pitcher in our organization that has ace-level stuff, it's him. The only thing we have to see is, can he pitch more? He has not pitched a lot throughout his career. He did not pitch at all in the organization the year he was drafted, and last year was when he finally got his first stint, and he pitched less than 40 total innings. He was slowly starting to get his workload up before they did shut him down for the season. You know, he hasn't had any major injury, so I'm not concerned about him. It's just a matter of being cautious with him. But this year, he's good to go at the beginning of the year, and we'll see what happens with him. But he is going to be one of the most exciting prospects in this organization to follow. And it's going to be some time before we see him in the majors, but if he develops the way that people think he can, he's going to be legitimate when he does finally reach the majors. And then also joining the Dash this year are some recent draft picks from the 2023 draft. Most prominently, we have Jacob Gonzalez, who will be joining the Winston-Salem Dash this year. I think we all saw the the social media posts about his stats last year that the White Sox published. Not a great look. But this is a guy who was one of the premier hitters in college baseball. And there's a reason the Sox were high enough on him to take him in the first round. He's a good hitter. He struggled a little bit out of the gate last year, but he is a legitimately good hitter. There should not be many questions with the bat. He looks like he cleaned up some things with the swing this year. So it'll be interesting to see how he starts out the year with some of those mechanical changes. But Jacob Gonzalez, there shouldn't be questions about the bat. I think he's going to hit just fine. The bigger question is going to be, where is his defensive home? He was a shortstop throughout all of college. He is probably more of a below average athlete, though. So will he be able to stick at shortstop? I think there's more questions about his ability to stick at shortstop than there are with Colson Montgomery. But I think he's someone who could profile just fine at second or third base. And as long as the bat develops the way that we think it can, I don't think there will be an issue with that. So it'll be a fun one to watch this year, really rooting for him to bounce back. Seth Keener, another guy that's going to be joining the Dash this year, and he's a guy who could also move very quickly through this system. I know he was mentioned on MLB Pipeline as a guy who could be a fast riser. Even before he was drafted, he was looked at as that type of pitcher. And, you know, he got off to a rock-solid start in the organization last year in limited innings in the complex league and in single A. Yeah, I think that he's a guy, he doesn't have ace-level upside or anything, but he has legitimate third or fourth starter upside at the MLB level. And I think he's shown enough to, you know, see that there's real promise with him, and I'm excited to see what he does this year. And finally, I also want to talk about Calvin Harris, our fourth-round pick in the draft last year. He's a guy that he got off to a really good start, kind of struggled a little bit as the season went on. But overall, he's got some legitimate power. He gets solid remarks for his ability behind the plate. So he has another guy with some real upside as a catcher. So it'll be interesting to watch him as he gets up to those upper levels in the minors. But as of right now, he's a guy that could be relied on at the very least as depth as at the catcher position in the near future. And then finally, let's talk about the Kannapolis Cannonballers at the low A level. So first of all, I want to talk about Ryan Burroughs, who will be making his stateside debut this year. You know, a couple years ago, he really broke out in the Dominican Summer League and was kind of a surprise for a lot of Sox fans to see that he was cracking top 30 White Sox prospect lists when he was a guy who was a virtual mystery coming out of the international signing period. He only inked a $75,000 signing bonus. Really wasn't a guy that was on a ton of people's radars, but he's got all the tools. He's, taller, big framed shortstop who has some real athleticism and has posted some pretty good exit velocity numbers. I mean, he's a guy that has, if everything goes right for him, he could be a legitimate 2020 type player when it's all said and done. And he's also a guy that has a ton of range on the defensive side. Right now, he's sticking at shortstop. We'll see if he ever has to move off of that and potentially go to second base or maybe an outfield spot. But right now, he's sticking at shortstop and doesn't seem like there's any issues yet. We'll see how that progresses as he faces stiffer competition and progresses through the organization. But I mean, with his athleticism and his raw power, there's a lot to like about Ryan Burroughs. So his stateside debut is going to be one to keep an eye on this year. And then there's more recent draft picks that will be joining the Cannonballers. Grant Taylor, it's yet to be seen when he's going to make his debut in the White Sox organization, he's going to be taking the same path that Peyton Platt took, basically, because he did miss all of last year with Tommy John surgery. But prior to the injury, he was getting legitimate first-round buzz. So there's some upside with Grant Taylor. So we'll see what we see out of him when he does make his stateside debut. You know, keep in mind this year, it's going to be more about him logging innings than anything else, but regardless, it's going to be exciting to watch him. George Wolkow will be joining the Cannonballers this year, and I think he's a guy a lot of people are excited to follow this season. The comparisons to guys like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton just come maybe too easily. I don't think we should be putting that type of pressure on any prospect, let alone a kid that just turned 18 years old, or if he's even turned 18 years old yet. But there's real upside with George Wolkow. I mean, with that massive frame, he's got legitimate power, probably as much raw power as anyone in this farm system. He's got pretty good athleticism, especially considering his size. I know they've been playing him in center field right now. It's more likely that he ends up in right field, where he's got more than enough of an arm to handle that position. But the fact that he's handling center field right now just shows off the athleticism and the range that he currently has. We'll see if he loses a step as he develops. But there's very few prospects in this organization that have as much upside as George Wolkow. And it's no guarantee that he's going to reach that upside, that he's going to even have any success. So, you know, we'll see how he develops, but the tools are all there for him to turn into a legitimate prospect. And then wrapping up the Cannonballers, one more player I wanted to talk about was Christian Opper, who is our fifth round pick. He's a guy that the White Sox have liked since the 2022 draft, when they had an agreement to draft him in the 11th round, before the Oakland Athletics decided to jump them and select him as a draft and wait type of prospect, which is a weird rule for the MLB draft, where you can draft someone and then let them go off to junior college and then decide whether or not you want to sign him, which the Athletics obviously did not, because he re-entered this draft class and was taken even higher by the White Sox. He was coming into the 22 draft, was the best prep pitcher in Wisconsin in that draft. There's upside with him. He's got velocity on his fastball. He's got some intriguing stuff. It reminds me a lot of the Tanner McDougal draft pick from a few years back, where he wasn't as well known to some people who followed the draft, but there is legitimate upside with him. And I'll be curious to see how he does in his, you know, full season debut. He looked decent enough in his debut in the Arizona Complex League last year after he was drafted. Very minimal innings, but still, he showed some promise. So overall, the White Sox have really, really established a much deeper farm system this year. I mean, I could have rattled off so many other names, but in the interest of time, I'm going to cut it off there. Otherwise, I don't think you guys want to hear me talk for an hour straight about, you know, guys who aren't even cracking the top 30 lists for the White Sox. So I am going to cut it off there. But I'm really excited to follow some of these guys and more throughout this entire season. And if you want to follow along with me, make sure you're tuning in every month. I want to say thank you all for joining me for this first episode of Pipeline to 35th. Again, I'm really excited to be doing this every month now. We're going to be putting out more minor league focused content in general at Sox on 35th under the Pipeline to 35th name. So if you want to follow along, you can find these shows on our YouTube channel and wherever you download podcasts. And to follow all of our minor league content throughout the year, you can find us on X and Instagram at Pipeline to 35th. Again, thank you all for joining. I'm Michael Suero, and I'm excited to follow along with this farm system throughout the season. So thank you all for joining. Have a good one.